So we are still waiting for Debbie's luggage to come back. Never joined us on the holiday, went its own way. Mass or so went strangely quiet. So we'll be chasing them. Do pray that we get back the luggage, because can't have Debbie taking all my toiletries. And so in conjunction with that, I'm calling my sermon today, Traveling Without Baggage. True story. No, the reason why I'm calling that is because one of the things we learned, or what Debbie said to me towards the end of our trip, was this. She said, I actually realized you don't need to pack so much for a long trip. You don't need to carry so much to have enough to go through this long trip overseas. You know, you don't need that 4 jackets, that 3 pairs of shoes. You don't actually need that much clothes. You don't need that 52 underwears. And, and she said, I've learned that. And in future, I am going to travel really light. Praise the Lord. No, and that's great, because one of our concerns when planning this trip was, it being, you know, almost a 3-week trip, was the multiple, you know, with all the multiple stops and locations, how were we going to manage our luggage? Lugging around those big bags, we will be doing some shopping as well, so we're going to be adding to our luggage, and we'll need that space, that extra space. And I'm especially bad at packing. The reason I'm bad at packing is because I have one of those minds that is always thinking of different possibilities, always looking at worst case scenarios. You know, that's good in some sense, but if you're in leadership, or you're leading a church, or you're in management, it's good because you're always thinking of different situations, possibilities, and so forth. But when you're packing to travel overseas, that's just horrible. You know, I'm always like, you know, what if it rains? What if it gets too cold? Or what if it gets too hot? Or what if my shoes get wet? What if a meteor crashes on the air? You know, I just think of all kinds of things, you know. Maybe I shouldn't bring this thing. Maybe I should bring that. And, you know, but the thing is, because of that, I end up packing a lot more than I actually really need. And at the end of the day, I packed like 3 pairs of shoes, 4 jackets, 25 underwears. What if I have food poisoning? And my baggage is always heavier than it should be. And you know, hindsight is always 20/20. You know, when you're there, you realize, I shouldn't have packed all this. I shouldn't have brought these things. You know, those additional shoes were totally unnecessary. One jacket is more than enough. You know, there are loads of stuff that was absolutely of no use or necessity to our journey. And the only thing it did for us was take up space and add weight on our journey. And the reason I am going in this direction today is because our life is a journey. Our Christian walk is a journey. In fact, the scriptures refer to us as sojourners, as pilgrims. And many times in this life, we can end up carrying things that serve no purpose other than take up space in our lives or add weight and strain to our journey. And I do believe that, like Debbie, we all need to come to the realization that, hey, I really don't need to carry all this additional weight. I really don't need to give that much space away to certain things that do nothing for my life, for my future, for my journey with God, and ultimately do not count in the grand scheme of things. I really don't need that excess baggage. Because many times we can go through life carrying all kinds of things that serve no good purpose for your life. And I felt that this message is crucial at this point, because many of us have had challenges and struggles throughout this year. And we are coming to the end of 2023. And there is a weight that you are carrying through this year that should not be going with you into the new year. In fact, it should not be going with you even into the Christmas, the coming Christmas season, which is not too far away. And there's a weight, there are things that you are, that is taking up space in your life and is robbing you of your joy, your peace, and it's keeping you from focusing on what really matters. It's keeping you from seeing and experiencing all that God wants to do for you, for your future, for your life. And you know, many times, as I mentioned, I realized I shouldn't have brought certain things on my journey, but it's too late. Because, you know, you're stuck with it until you get home. But the good news is, unlike my travel luggage, you don't have to be stuck with these things, this unnecessary baggage. You can shed those things from your life at any point. In fact, at the point of realization, you can immediately drop those things. You can immediately lighten the load. You can immediately create space in your life. You know, one of the guys who did a whole lot of traveling in biblical times is the Apostle Paul. He traveled around the Roman Empire, planting churches, strengthening, encouraging the believers, raising funds for the churches. And he tells us this. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." So what he's saying is, take note of the example that I am setting in how I am journeying, and also others who so walk, who walk the same way that we walk. In other words, he's saying, travel like how I travel. In fact, we looked at the same scripture last Sunday with Pastor Asanga, and Paul goes on to give us some insight. He said, this is how I travel. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And this statement is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, a church that he himself had planted about 10 years prior. And he's writing this as an older man. It is believed that this was written during his 2 years house arrest in Rome, very near to the end of his life. So we are hearing from an older, a wiser man of God. An older, wiser, more experienced Paul. And he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I do not consider myself as someone who has arrived or has got it all figured out." Paul's statement is pretty amazing, considering that if anyone had the right to claim that he has arrived, that he knows it all, you know, if anyone could claim that he had it all together, it would have been Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament letters as we know today. He was used by God to spread the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. Next to Jesus, he is the one most used by God to spread the gospel and to plant churches. And there's no doubt that he left an incredible impact on the world. You know, today a lot of our understanding of New Covenant theology comes from Paul's letters and Paul's teaching. So he was crucial in the development of the Christian world. Yet Paul, at this later stage of his life, says, "I don't count myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect. I'm still growing. I've still not achieved all my goals yet." There's such a humility in this man for him to say, "I don't know it all." You know, I've met relatively young Christians who think they know it all. You can't teach them new things. Yet here's this great Apostle Paul saying this about himself: "I don't count myself to have apprehended. I don't have all the answers." And our lives as believers should always have space for growth. Can both the Ethans please sit down? You're distracting me like that video. It's easy when you got one name for three people, four people in the church service. So our lives as believers should always have space for growth, to learn new things. The Christian faith is dynamic. We are word-based. That doesn't change, but we are spirit-led. The word doesn't change or shift, but the spirit leads us, moves us to accomplish God's will and purposes on the earth and for our life. The spirit is not static. And sometimes he will lead us into unfamiliar territory. And if we think we know it all, we will miss out on what God wants to do. Because, hey, I know all this already. I graduated from Sunday school. I did Bible college. So, you know, you can't tell me anything. And you miss out on what God wants to do. And, you know, always leave room for God to surprise us. You never come to a point where you know it all. You know, there was a time in Christian history when people knew women who wore pants to church were going to hell. They were certain that God was not going to approve, that God was not pleased with that. There was a time when people knew that if you played a drum in church, you're of the devil. People were certain the electric guitar is from Satan. People knew all kinds of things. There was a time in history when Christians knew that certain people were not allowed in church. There was a time in history when Christians were certain that if you didn't wear a tie and a suit, you cannot stand on the pulpit and preach. God would be upset. But I thank God that in every generation, there were people who were willing to step out of traditional norms and practices and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit into new, and that time that was new territory, new unexplored territory. And because they did that, the gospel spread to people of all cultures, all nations. The gospel spread to every corner of the earth, and it is still spreading. Amen. Aren't you glad that people change? If not all of you here, women will be with your headscarves, no pants, long, long skirts and long sleeve and turtlenecks, no makeup. There are some Christians who knew that God was not pleased with makeup. Thank you, Jesus. So as Christians, a know-it-all attitude is one of those things that you should not carry with you on your journey with God, because it is taking up space and preventing you from experiencing more of God. The worst position you can be in as a follower of Jesus is the position where you become unteachable, because you think you know it all, because you've been a Christian for that long, because you've held certain positions, and you develop an unteachable spirit. And all it does is it keeps you from experiencing all that God has for you and he wants to do through your life, for your life. Even the Apostle Peter had to be prepared to let go of some strong traditions and beliefs and embrace a new thing that God was doing so that God could use him to get the gospel to the Gentiles. You know, Peter grew up in the Jewish tradition. He was taught that the Gentiles were unclean. Certain animals were unclean. You should have nothing to do with these things, and you mustn't touch those things. And this was an established principle or tradition from the Old Testament. Then Peter gets this vision when he's praying. In Acts chapter 10 verse 11, he said, he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all kinds of animals, reptiles, birds. The voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." Peter was like, "No, Lord. I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." And the same vision was repeated three times, then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. God was teaching Peter something new. And that went against all that he had believed up to that point of time. But God was doing something new, and Peter needed to be teachable so that he could go in the direction that God was taking him. Peter needed to have that space so that he could embrace this new season that God was leading him into. And because he was teachable, the gospel went to the Gentiles. The house of Cornelius got saved. And from there it spread. And today we are all saved because this man responded to a vision from God, leading him away from what he had believed up to that point of time. So if Peter could change and embrace a new thing, you and I have got no excuse. But listen, when I say a new thing, I don't mean anything that contradicts the Word of God. The Word of God is our firm foundation. That doesn't change. The grass withers, the flowers fade. The Word of God stands forever. Amen? And if Paul, being the example that he is, a mighty apostle used by God to influence and shape the church in that old age, and he says, it's not that I've already attained or arrived or apprehended. If Paul could say that at that stage of his life, you and I have no business thinking that we have arrived, that we have attained, that we have apprehended. We are all on this journey and we never stop learning. We need to be pliable in the hands of God, like clay in the hands of the potter. Paul was a successful follower of Jesus, and he said we should follow his examples. Yet he doesn't see himself as complete, but someone on a journey with God. And from verse 13 onwards, he gives us some insight, like I said, into his traveling disciplines. And he said, this is one thing I do. One thing. And that is what we all need to pay attention to. This is the one thing. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying this. He's saying the key to his success in fulfilling the call of God upon his life is the fact that he chooses to forget those things which are behind. There are things that he makes a conscious effort to forget or to let go of or to remove from his baggage as he is journeying with God. There are things that he doesn't allow to occupy space in his heart. Forgetting those things that are behind. Now, forgetting is not erasing your memory of the past or erasing that past experience. We do not have that ability. But forgetting is, he's talking about breaking the power of that memory, breaking the power of that past over your future. He says, there's one thing I do. He's saying that there are things that I intentionally let go of, that I choose to forget. What are some of the things that we can deduce when we study Paul's life? What are some of the things that we can deduce that he had to let go of? One was past mistakes. You know, Paul made many mistakes. In fact, he lived his life in opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just a verbal opposition. He went to the extent of hunting down and ordering and supervising the imprisonment and the killing of followers of Jesus, followers of the way, as they used to call him back then. He was there when the disciple, the apostle Stephen, was being stoned to death. He literally had the blood of Christians, the blood of the martyrs on his hands. He had much to regret. He had made many mistakes that had the potential of haunting him for the rest of his life. And I'm sure there were moments where he remembered the faces of those people that he had caused harm to, that caused injury to, that caused the imprisonment and death of. There were moments when people reminded him of those mistakes or even judged him by his past mistakes. There were followers of Jesus who initially did not trust Paul because of his past. But Paul knew, yes, I made mistakes, but I cannot hold on to the pain and guilt of those mistakes and regrets if I want to step on and go on this journey with God, where God is leading me, if I want to embrace and lay hold of all that God has for me in my future. He had to forget those things that are behind and press on. You know, we've all made mistakes in our life, maybe not as bad as Paul's, but we have regrets and mistakes, things that we are not proud of. Could be things you've done, bad choices you've made, bad relationships you got entangled with, divorces, abortions, things that you may have said and done. And some of those things could be haunting you even today. And they are weighing you down and they keep bringing you back to a place of regret, guilt, and condemnation. And you've been traveling with this excess baggage and weight, and it is taking up space and robbing you of joy in the present. And you've got to decide today, this stops now. I'm getting rid of this now. I'm not going to be journeying with this weight anymore. I'm not going to allow this to take up any space in my life anymore. I'm not going to doubt myself anymore. I'm not going to doubt what God did for me anymore. Because more than doubting myself, by carrying this guilt and condemnation, I'm expressing doubt in the redemptive, sin-cleansing, life-transforming power of the blood of Jesus and of the finished work of Jesus at Calvary. I am doubting the promises in His Word. And that's exactly where the devil wants you to be. Living in doubt, living in condemnation, living not believing what Jesus is saying, but believing what the devil has said. Many Christians do that. You carry these things in your heart. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, it says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what Jesus is saying. No matter how bad your sin is, come to me. Come to me. I will cleanse you. I will forgive you. And He doesn't just say, I'll forgive you. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, He says to all of us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And He doesn't just stop there. And He says, and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive and cleanse. You know, when I go cut my hair, what's left of it anyway, with Sean, every time I go to pay the bill, he will take out the calculator and he'll type in the amount inside and he'll show me. So I don't know what tradition this is, but he will never say the amount from his mouth. So he'll always show me the calculator. And it's been the same amount, thank God, for the past 5 years. But he'll show me the calculator. So I'll say, okay. So sometimes we have our sin is like that. We go to God with our calculator. This is how much I owe. 1,000,000, maybe just a whole bunch of zeros. You're going to God and you're showing Him your calculator. Confess. I'm guilty. We are all guilty. And God says to you, don't have to pay it. Forgiveness. I forgive you. You don't have to pay. You do not have to pay the price. But He doesn't just do that. He takes the calculator, He hits the C. C. Cancel. So now, when you look at it, if He doesn't hit the C, you still walk around with that calculator. Even though you are forgiven, you still feel the guilt. Because you're looking at the amount. Every time you see that amount, you feel like, I feel bad. But He hits the cancel. So now when you look at the amount, clean. Zero. So He doesn't just forgive you of your sins. We all need forgiveness. He cleanses you of all unrighteousness. How good is Jesus? He did for us what we have no way of doing for ourselves. And listen, I want to speak to some of you here who are seated here this morning, but you're carrying guilt and condemnation. Yes, you know there's forgiveness. Maybe you've received that forgiveness, but you keep looking at the calculator. And I want you to stop looking at stains that God has already removed. Stop looking for stains that God has already removed. You are holy and blameless as you stand before him this morning. Come on, if that's you, just close your eyes right now. It says, if we confess our sins, right now, whatever it is, how bad it is, it could be a sin that, you know, you committed a long time ago. It could be a sin that you committed yesterday. It could be a current struggle. Confess it to God. Come clean before him. And he goes on to say, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, by the very fact of you coming before him, that is faith. Now receive your forgiveness. Receive your forgiveness. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. I said, and he also cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He also removes that stain from your life. You don't have to carry this anymore. You don't have to carry this guilt and condemnation anymore. You are righteous as you stand before him. Holy Spirit. Lord, let this not just be words, but let it become a reality, an experiential reality. Let that weight of condemnation, that spirit of condemnation be bound right now and removed from the lives of your people, those who have been struggling with guilt and condemnation, even as they come before you this morning, and according to your word, if they confess their sins, you are faithful and just to forgive them of all their sins and cleanse them of all unrighteousness. Receive it, receive that cleansing flow. Receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul needed to let go of past mistakes. He needed to let go of old mindsets. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 onwards, he says, I was circumcised when I was 8 years old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there was ever one. As a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law, I was zealous and I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. Now, Paul had a mindset. You know, he once thought that certain things were valuable. In his case, it was his pride in who he was as a pure Jew and what he had achieved. He thought that made him special in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. You and I too may have certain mindsets that we think is of worth, that we think it makes a difference in our relationship with God. But actually, in reality, it has no use in your future with God. It may not be something religious like Paul. It could be something else. Maybe there was a way you used to think. There was a way you used to reason. There were things you thought were important. Maybe like Paul, there were things that you used to hinge your self-worth on. Maybe you used to think your value is in your achievement or how much you earn, your position, the car you drive, how many likes, views you get on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. And that made you feel important and loved. And you're pouring your life into those things. But God wants you to let go of that old mindset and find your value in who God says you are. That is your true value. During the pandemic, an old friend of mine got in touch with me. He had just gone through a tough time and he was saying how he was, prior to the pandemic, he was doing really, really well. He bought fancy cars. He had, you know, he told me once I went for a lunch to impress his girlfriend at that point, and he went to this. How many Michelin? What's the highest in the Michelin star? Three Michelin star restaurant. And he said, I spent 5,000 ringgit on a lunch. And he said, I thought it was, it all meant so much. It made me feel important and great. I went on expensive holidays. Yet because of the pandemic, his livelihood was affected in a big way. And he had come to a point where he had to borrow money to get by, to pay his bills. And he said, at some point, you know, at one point his life revolved around his possessions and his success, and his whole identity and self-worth was tied to that. But what's amazing is all those things are no longer there, and he opened his heart to what God was saying to him and was doing in his life. And he called me not to borrow money, praise the Lord. He called me to say, hey, I've got faith now. I've got God. And that is all that matters. And that is what defines me. And that is what is going to get me through everything. God has been so good to me. And I was like, praise the Lord. It almost sounds like what the Apostle Paul is saying. I once thought all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. He's saying, I'm considering those things, that way of thinking, garbage. What do you do with garbage? That's right. You get rid of it. You don't put it in your luggage bag and travel with garbage. It's of no use for you. It's taking up space. It's adding weight. And it's sooner or later you're going to have flies in your bag. Amen. You know, there are mindsets that we could be carrying, ideas that we build our self-worth on. Maybe you're going through your life worried about what others think of you. Maybe you're doing certain things or living your life a certain way because you believe you need those things to be loved and respected by others, and you need to live up to those expectations, and it is a weight and a stress that you are journeying with. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that's garbage that you need to get rid of. You shouldn't be carrying that anymore. You need to find and rest in your identity in Christ, in who God says you are. You are priceless to him. So priceless. In fact, he was willing to, even though it was priceless, he paid a price. He gave his son so that he can have a relationship with you. That's how valuable you are. You have nothing to prove to anyone. Your value is not in who others say you are, what that person said you are. When Paul came to that realization, nothing could faze him. No attack, no condemnation, no bad news. No matter what others thought of him, nothing could discourage him because he knew who he was in Christ. He knew his value to God. It was no longer about living to please others, to prove himself. Because let me tell you, that is a dark hole that has got no bottom. The people who are one day praising him, if you read the story of his journey after he gets saved, and later when he starts ministering, he goes from town to town. One day they are praising him and cheering him on. Next day they want to kill him. They want to beat him up. They want to stone him. One day they think they are gods and they want to worship him. Next day they dragged him out of town and stoned him until he was, some people believe he actually died, but God resurrected him again. People, don't hinge your self-worth and your value on people. The people that are praising you today could be shouting, crucify him tomorrow. That's what happened to Jesus. Palm Sunday, you all know, he entered into Jerusalem. Everybody was waving palm leaves, praising him, praise the, oh, he's our king, and you know, long live the king, and all that kind of things. 1 week later, same crowd. Probably most of them were standing, mocking him and shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" If Paul or Jesus hinged their self-worth, their value, their ministry on the opinions and the thoughts of men, they would not have fulfilled the call of God that was upon their lives. Amen. You are not defined by what others think. You're not defined by what you have or what you possess. You are defined by the one who possesses you. Amen. Your creator. And in him is your true worth and value. I want to speak to the young people. This day, I was, a lot of nations actually where they have these statistics. In fact, even in Singapore, I was talking to a pastor from Singapore, and she's saying suicide rate among the young people is really, really high, among youth. It's been the highest ever. I remember during the pandemic, there were like a couple of thousand young people who committed suicide in New Zealand. They got more sheep than people there. But young people are living their lives under a stress that they have no business caring, because the world is trying to push them into a mold. And they live with the stress. I have to prove myself. I have to be accepted by others. I have to say certain things. I have to behave a certain way. I have to post certain kinds of photos for people to respect me, to like me, for my friends to kind of think I'm popular. And it can go overnight. I was reading about an Instagram influencer and how she posted recently regarding the Middle Eastern situation, and she posted an opinion that was not popular. She didn't even take a side. She just posted a sort of almost a neutral, post. She posted that and she lost 100,000 followers overnight because they didn't like what she said. Don't, young people, come on, the young people, stand up. All the youth life. When I say young people now, a lot of Prasan people will be standing up. Patrick also wanted to stand up. Okay. Come on, all the youth, stand up. Come. I know they're feeling, you see, this is another thing about the youth, right? They feel incredibly embarrassed. Oh my goodness, pastor's going to make me stand up. Come on, youth. Okay, let me give a age la. Huh? Ethan's age. Around 25 la. 25 and below, stand up. Oh, Pam, you don't qualify already. Huh? It's getting higher and higher. 30 and below, 25. Anyone else? 25 years? Come, stand. Stand. Not gonna. Joseph, 25 below. Allah. So listen to me. You are precious in the eyes of God. Don't let the world, your friends, people, ex-boyfriends, ex-girlfriends, or even maybe some of you could be your families, don't let them tell you otherwise. You are precious to the eyes. You have nothing to prove to anyone. Live for God and God will bless you. He will honor you. Your future is in His hands. Listen. Be the type of person who says, I'd rather be cancelled for living for God than to be popular for living for the world. Yes. That is the only way to live. Amen. Come on, let's stretch our hands, pray for these young people. There is a very real pressure. It is a very real pressure. We can laugh about it now, but there is a huge stress on our young people. Come on, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for every life, every young person that is standing before us today. Even some who are seated, Lord, some who are a bit older. Lord, I thank you for their lives. I thank you for the future that they have in you. I thank you that not one will be lost, Lord, but they will all fulfill their call in God. Lord, they will be bold. They will be mighty men and women of God. I declare over them, you will be a mighty man and a woman of God, a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart. You will fear nothing. A boldness will rise up. A spirit of boldness be released into them right now. A spirit of purity be released in them right now. In the name of Jesus, fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over every young person, even those watching from home, even those who are maybe a bit older but still struggling with this. I plead the blood of Jesus over you. Let there be a renewing of their minds. Holy Spirit, do what we cannot do, O Lord. Holy Spirit, minister to them in their alone times, when they're alone in their room, when they're feeling the pressure. Let the shalom of heaven, the peace of God, guard their hearts and their minds, Lord. Lord, not one will be lost. And devil, I say to you, get your hands off these young people. I silence your voice in the name of Jesus. And I release a blessing over them. Father, I thank you that they will prosper. Lord, that they will grow in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, O God. Father, I thank you. We bless them in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. And finally, where's my keyboardist? MTV. The other thing that Paul needed to let go of was past hurts. Because if there was anyone who could be using his past hurts as an excuse, it's Paul. Here's a man who has been through so much. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Whacking. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And he's not talking about recreational stoning, just so you know. I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides other things, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. So if there's anyone who could go through his Christian life who had an excuse not to care, to quit his ministry, to walk away, it was Paul. He had some real tough times. Betrayed, beaten, chewed up, spat out, chewed up again. But he's on fire for God and the gospel. And how does he do it? He reveals it. This one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind and reach towards what's ahead. You know, I've spoken to Christians who will tell you things like, I don't serve God anymore because I used to serve and then I got insulted and left out by people, so I'm hurt. I'm hurt with God. You know, I spoke to my friends about Jesus. They got offended. They scolded me. Now they don't talk to me. Now I don't want to talk to anyone about Jesus anymore. I gave my whole life to serve God. And then I got robbed. I lost everything. I'm upset with God. We've had people leave the worship team because their name was accidentally left out from an email. So they don't, I don't want to serve anymore. All kinds of people you'll find in the church. You see, Paul had every reason to go down that path. But he didn't view his life that way. He knew God called him. He knew it wasn't going to be easy, but he kept on, and this is what he does. I forget those things that are behind, and I reach forward. You can only reach forward if you fix your eyes on Jesus. People have hurt you. Yes, people are going to hurt you. I can guarantee you that. You will have disappointments on this journey. Don't take offense. Don't carry those people with you. Most importantly, don't allow those hurts to keep you out of all that God has for you. Don't allow your past incidences or experiences to be a roadblock for your future. Someone once said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that fellow will die. You hurt me, huh? No, you see what I'm going to do to you. See, you're a terrible person. Only person that is affecting is you. Only person that it's robbing from is you. Only person that it's keeping from stepping into all God has for them, it's you. The number one thing that keeps people out of their destiny, keeps people from progressing, is them holding on to offense and unforgiveness. And I do believe that one thing that we all have in common is this: we all will have offenses committed against us. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, he said this in Luke chapter 17 verse 1, it is impossible that no offenses should come. So what he's saying is, it's impossible to be alive and not get hurt or offended. But hear this, it is possible for us to not take or carry those offenses in our hearts as we journey with God. In Romans chapter 12 verse 19, Paul says, dear friends, do not take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. Not poison, but feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you are heaping burning coals of shame on their heads. And he goes on to say, do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. So it's pretty interesting, because he's saying allowing offense to rule over you is synonymous to allowing evil to conquer you. So Paul says, do the exact opposite of what your flesh is telling you to do. Be nice to your enemies. Forgive. If they need help, help them. He says you conquer evil. You think it's about that person. It is not about that person. It's about the spirit at work behind that person. And the only way you conquer that spirit of evil is by you doing good, by you walking in obedience to the word of God for your life. Jesus immediately dealt with the people who were attacking him, coming against him, hurting him. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's not about whether they repent or not, but they didn't repent, or if they deserve it, or if they ask for forgiveness. The people that Jesus forgave and prayed for forgiveness for did not ask for forgiveness, didn't deserve forgiveness. They were not repented. They were people that didn't know they needed forgiveness. Yet he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There are people in your world who don't even know or realize they need forgiveness. Pray and forgive them anyway. Amen. Don't put conditions to you releasing forgiveness to others in your world. And I'll go to say this, I'll go as far as saying, it is a sin to put conditions on forgiveness when you yourself have received unconditional forgiveness from God. The Bible is very clear about this. There is no room or justification for you to hold on to offense to anyone as a believer in Christ Jesus. Amen. Are you carrying offenses, so unforgiveness in your baggage? things that you should not be carrying with you on your journey, it is time to let it go. Release. Release. It is time to travel light. Or like Debbie, travel without baggage. Forgive. Keep moving. Fix your eyes on the goodness of your Savior. If but for His grace and mercy, none of us will be here today. None of us got a reason here to have any hope. But because of His grace and forgiveness, today we are a people of hope. Today we are righteous, holy. Today we can come before the presence of God, knowing we have a future in Him, knowing that we can receive forgiveness, cleansing. He did it all for us. Don't be sitting here holding on, I know better. Many of us think we have this mindset that we think that everyone, God doesn't like everybody we don't like. Because I don't like that person, I'm sure God also considers him an enemy. You're going to be very shocked when you go to heaven, if you make it. Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah. Every eye closed. And I want to end with this. Forgiveness. You know, God's been speaking to some of you about people, about offenses that you have been carrying. And it's been a dead weight on your journey. And it's time to forget those things that are behind. Because you holding on to this, firstly, it's a huge open door for the enemy. And it's adding weight and it's taking up space in your life. There's so much that God wants to do. But you can't get past this roadblock. And it's time to make this decision today. I'm going to let go. I'm going to drop it. You're not traveling with me anymore. I'm going to forget those things that are behind and fix my eyes on my Savior. Who is it? What is it that you need to let go of? Who is it that you need to forgive? What offense do you need to release? Now is the time. You don't have to travel with it anymore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.